This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Game day! Hey, everybody. Welcome into Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Mike McKenna also with you today to help get you prepped and ready for the VGK taking on the Dallas Stars tonight in Game 3 of the Western Conference Final. Tied the series now at one game apiece, Mike.
Stormy, how you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling great, especially looking over at you and just seeing all of the entertaining facial expressions.
We're trying to crack a smile back here and get each other to laugh a little bit.
I'm trying to do a very serious intro here, and here's Mike just, I don't even know what that was, like an eyebrow?
I can wiggle my ears.
Even with the headset?
It's powerful.
Wow.
Yeah, very strong ears.
Riddle me impressed.
That's why they kind of point out when I'm on the air. I'm actually self-conscious of my ears.
What?
So you had an early morning, though, eh, Stormy?
I did have an early morning, yes. It was really cool, actually, because myself, along with Cody Glass, Ben Jones, Logan Thompson, we all went out to...
Goalie Union, by
yes.
the way.
Yeah, he actually talked about you. He said that he wanted to meet you. He was looking forward to it because he heard really good things. And I was like, goalies.
Well,
yeah.
We will have to have a socially distanced meetup. And he's also a full right goaltender like myself. Very rare.
Go.
So I have a very big place in my heart for Logan Thompson and his future with the Golden Knights.
Well, they, we were all out helping out with Three Square Food Bank this morning. And it was really, really great because the need for those in areas where they're having issues with hunger and all of that, it was really good to be able to help out. Socially distanced, cars were coming through and we were able to deliver some food and some meals today. And I mean, those three guys are just some of the nicest guys around too, and it was great to see them getting involved.
Yeah, rock stars. I mean, anytime you can help out, and especially with the way the world is right now, there's a lot of people in need, and the chance to be able to do that's awesome. Golden Knights guys, hockey people in general, are always willing to jump at it, and kudos to you for waking up early with knowing that you had a big day ahead of you, a lot of stuff on the plate.
Well, and honestly, though, some of the people that were waiting in line had to have been up earlier than me because there was a really, really long line of cars out there. So glad that we could do some good in the community.
You don't even think about it when you're up early, right?
Yeah.
When you have that fulfilling feeling, it's rewarding for sure.
No, it was awesome. And they also did talk some hockey with me because we do have a big Game 3 coming up today. As I said, the series between the Vegas Golden Knights and Dallas Stars tied at 1 right now and 2 very different games. It was a shutout win for Dallas 1-0 in Game 1 and then a reversal of fate, a 3-0 win for the Vegas Golden Knights in Game 2.
Couple themes here, really. You know, the Golden Knights took the game to Dallas in Game 2. They didn't chase as much. You know, they were the ones controlling and dictating play. They made some adjustments in several areas. And the Knights stayed out of the box, too. And this is something I harp on. I really think that the Golden Knights, when they take two or less penalties, they don't lose, you know. And they had Dallas in the box the whole game, and it really happened right off the bat. They were able to start the fourth line with Ryan Reeves in the lineup. Within 2 minutes, John Klingberg takes the penalty because he's preoccupied with facing down Reeves. To me, that's really set the table for the whole game. It was back to Golden Knights hockey. They played the brand they wanted to over the course of almost the entire game.
And that's so critical just in terms of the penalties, because you talk about being able to get all of the lines going and rolling four lines, and why that's so important to get in a rhythm and stay in a rhythm for the Golden Knights. And I feel like after Game 1, they did a really good job of assessing those issues that they had and going into Game 2, trying to carry over some of the good things they did in the third period of the first game. They did a good job of that, particularly in that second period.
Yep, it did. It all started that third period of the first game, and they knew what they needed to do from a system standpoint, but really what it came down to was just the overall effort level. They had to find their legs. The Golden Knights were sluggish in the first two periods of Game 1. They just didn't look like the energy team that we usually see. And part of that, too, was the parade to the penalty box. When you can't have the four lines rolling, it's the big strength of the team is coming in waves, putting pressure on Dallas's defenders, which they did a whole lot of last game. They made life really difficult for Klingberg and for Heiskanen and the rest of the defensive crew on the Stars. So, again, it was very, very much a return to what we'd expect from the Golden Knights. And you hope that they can carry it into Game 3 tonight.
Yeah, I know. So one of these old sayings is like, figures lie and liars figure or whatever.
I've never heard that, but I like that.
Okay, yeah. So I always hesitate to get into like stats or historical references too much. But because Jonathan Marsh, so ahead of Game 2, did call Game 2 a must win. And ultimately, the Golden Knights did go out and do that, but I was looking at the numbers and from NHL PR had put out, and you're like, whoa, it actually kind of is really important to win game two, because historically teams in the conference finals, dating back to when that was put in the format in the early 80s, teams that go up 2-0 in a conference finals series are 31-2. So there's a chance.
You're saying there's a chance. Yeah, it's just like Dumb and Dumber. I mean, more like 1 in a million. You're saying there's a chance. But it's certainly an incredibly important game. You know, it's not the end of the world. It's not truly a must-win. You're not going to go home if you don't. And
right.
Like even today, Pete DeBoer referenced that if the Golden Knights play their game tonight, even if there's a Demko-like performance at the other end and they don't get a win, it's not the end of the world, because you're still looking for the overall process. But it is playoffs. Like, mm-hmm. You got to win games. That's what it comes down to. And so a 2-0 hole, that wouldn't have been pretty for the Golden Knights. And, you know, they managed to get through those first two games, and it's a split. Now it's a 5-game series.
Yep, fortunately, not something that they have to worry about anymore, but just an interesting note, I thought, looking back. Wow. But Pete DeBoer also saying that for sure both teams were going to be desperate tonight, and I was curious for the Golden Knights how their setup will be in terms of their lines. Obviously, last game we saw some lines mixed up. The middle six, you called it a puree. They're not in a blender.
Yeah. Well, the puree is now a finely mixed shake, I guess, right? Because here's the thing. This is why I don't think I'd be a very good coach. I wouldn't have had the guts to put together some of the lines that Pete DeBoer did without the familiarity. Putting Nick Waugh up with Stastny and Pacioretty, there hasn't been much of that this year. That has not been a mix we've seen. Putting Stone with Tuck and Stevenson. Pete DeBoer spread out a lot of his offense than ways we hadn't seen before. I wouldn't have had the guts to do it, and it really paid off. You know, the Pacioretty Stastny Waugh line was excellent. We'll definitely have to talk more about them in a bit, but I like that he kept Marcia So Carlson Smith together. Mm-hmm. You know, they had had good games previously, hadn't had the result to it. Carlson goes and gets a goal, but I still like what they've brought. And obviously the meat grinders were as planned. Yeah. They were going to stick together. But, you know, really essentially you're putting Nick Waugh into Mark Stone's spot. That's where he's played with Stastny and Pacioretty previously. And Nick Waugh has a lot of Mark Stone-like characteristics. They both play a very heady game. They can find their teammates, and they can slot into each other's roles pretty seamlessly. So, again, it seemed like a bold move, but as much as the Golden Knights have practiced together, they've spent time in Phase 3 mixing up lines, you know, it wasn't as far outside the box as it may have looked.
Yeah, but not often, I would say, that you would expect to hear Max Pacioretty playing on a quote-unquote third line.
Yeah, names of lines are kind of out the window to me. And Dallas did the same thing. They really spread their scoring out. They had Sagan, Ben, and Radulov on different lines to start the game. So it is a little bit from both clubs.
Well, and that's something that Pete DeBoer kind of dove into his explanation as to why he shook up the lines the way that he did. He said Dallas, you know, is set up right now with really four balanced lines, very good players, offensive players on every line. And he feels like that, so I guess we'll just call it a third line right now because that's the order that they're going out in. But it sets up better for those matchups, having the depth kind of retweaked, I guess, with the VGK.
Right, because you've got a heaviness throughout Dallas's lineup. They've got it's their balanced attack. Scoring, heavy, playmaker, kind of on each line. And that's what Pete DeBoer was looking for as well. But he also said, too, it's about the Golden Knights. It's about their execution. They're not necessarily doing this in response to Dallas as they are what they think is going to give them the best chance to win with their lineup. But that being said, you're mindful of it, too. And players have to seize the opportunity. Nick Waugh stepped in and did a great job. You know, that's a big step. It was really an impressive game from him.
Yeah, and Pete DeBoer said he really likes his versatility. He's a guy you can put him wherever you want. He's got the ability to get on pucks. He's got that right shot draw on faceoffs. And he's also had a very interesting road to get to this point. Was on the Golden Knights and Chicago Wolves transaction report this season 30 times, playing in 28 Vegas Golden Knights games. And Pete DeBoer talked a bit about his journey and now becoming the NHL regular we see this postseason.
You know what? He impressed me right away. I knew the history a little bit that he had been. He'd made multiple trips up and down. You know, I think in talking to him, he had slept a lot of nights in hotels, either at the Chicago airport or in Vegas. So, you know, it had been a real year of moving around for him. And you know, when I came in, Kelly and George wanted me to take a look with an open mind. And that's one of the benefits, I think, of a new coach is, you get a fresh look at some of the guys that are in those situations. And for them, it's a fresh chance to maybe clean the slate and make an impression. And I think Nick was one of those guys that seized that opportunity. Zach Whitecloud would have been the other. I thought Nick Hag made a real good impression early with me. So, I think it was evident pretty early to me that this kid could help us. And, I just liked a lot of parts about his game.
And Pete DeBoer talks a lot about, wanting to put out the best lineup that gives his team the chance to win every night. And Nick Waugh, a guy that's really earned his spot and put in the work.
He's got pedigree. I just revert back to this so often that what you do before you get to the NHL can really carry and set the tone for what you'll do once you get there. And there's a precedence for it. There's a reason why GMs and coaches, they want winners. They want people who've been part of that culture. They know what it's like to propel a team. For Nick Waugh, part of the Charlotte Checkers, winning the Calder Cup last year in the American Hockey League against the Chicago Wolves being the VGK affiliate, that's huge for a young player to go through that grind and just know what it takes and how to manage it. And, we're in a unique scenario. There's no fans in the building, but I can tell you firsthand, if you get to the finals in the American League, it's just as loud as it is in the NHL from that perspective, and there's just as much on the line. You're trying to crack the NHL. Why did Nick Waugh get his chance? Because he was so good last year, and his line was outstanding last game. 5-on-5, they really carried the play. Pacioretty, Stastny, Stone, they led the team in scoring chances during the game. And for Paul Stastny, it was a big game too, right? Mm-hmm. Goal and an assist, really needed to get that monkey off his back. And the goal that he scored started with a heads-up play from Nick Waugh in the defensive zone to get it down to the ice and create an opportunity at the front side of the net. And they lined up against Jamie Benn most of the night too. That's Dallas's top line. So despite these three guys on the Knights playing against Dallas's top line of Ben, Fox, and Como, they still generated the most offensive chances, and Stastny was 9-5 in the faceoff circle. So you want reasons why? There it is. They yep. won the faceoffs. They were able to control the play because they had possession of the puck.
Well, and another guy who was winning in the faceoff circle, we referenced very briefly, but William Karlsson had a great night.
Wild Bill. Feels good to say that, doesn't it?
Yes. Capitalizing on the power play. Vintage Wild Bill. Let's go.
The best part is it gave my daughter the opportunity to see the hair flip with the hand through the hair on the replay, showing Wild Bill.
Guys at home, you don't realize this, but Kenlyn McKenna loves the Swedish hair.
Mega, mega, mega Will Karlsson fan. She loves him. She'll fake faint when she sees him on TV. It was a huge night for him. He had the power play goal, and it was vintage Karlsson with the goal scoring. The way he creates those chances. Use the D as a screen. Change the angle. Smart shot. Chooses to go five hole. A rare shot these days. Catches Hudobin off guard. Beats him clean. Doesn't happen very often in the NHL. And the biggest thing for me, aside from his work on the power play and the goal, great in the faceoff circle also. Okay? He's 70%, but he was 2-0 on the penalty kill on the faceoffs. He played a 200-foot game that Pete DeBoer expects of him. He took the majority of his faceoffs in the defensive zone. So this is somebody that Pete DeBoer is really trusting to do things at both ends of the ice. And I know his first year Wild Bill was on a tear that nobody could have ever expected with his goal scoring, but his value in the team isn't just in that. It's not just in playmaking on the offensive sheet. It's all over the ice.
Yeah, he's all over the ice for sure, guys. Hey, remember, Bill and Carol Foley created the Foley Food and Wine Society to celebrate three of their greatest passions: world-class wines, exceptional cuisine, and outstanding travel destinations. As a member of the society, you'll have access to the entire portfolio of properties around the globe. The Foley Food and Wine Society offers an exclusive opportunity to join like-minded individuals who seek to experience the finer things in life. Join for free today by visiting foleyfoodandwinesociety.com. Mike, I know you love the finer things as well.
I like wine. It's very good.
Who doesn't? Well, when we come back, we'll continue a little bit of that PK talk, talking defense, goaltender, and of course, the Ryan Reeves effect. Stay with us on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Stormy Bonantoni and Mike McKenna with you, getting you prepped on this game day as the Vegas Golden Knights get set to face the Dallas Stars in Game 3. The series right now tied at 1. And Mike, we left off talking a little bit about special teams and wanted to dive into the penalty kill briefly real quick. They've been really, really good, clicking at 88.7%.
A little better than regular season when the team is in the bottom three of the league.
Yeah, a little bit.
And it's a key. I mean, you know, Pete DeBoer came in and he put changes in right away in what he wanted to do structurally, defensively on the penalty kill. It didn't really come to fruition during the regular season before the pause. It was still a work in progress, but ever since they've come back, it's been very good. Went 2-for-2 last game in game 2, only allowed a shot on goal. That's fantastic. They're doing really well at pressuring the players that they need to. Miro Heiskanen, quarterback for Dallas, similar as to the previous round when they pressured Quinn Hughes, who is, again, a power quarterback for the Vancouver Canucks. So they've been really diligent on it, really good signs in that direction. Robin Leonard's made some saves when he needs to, Marc-Andre as well, and really special teams in general. You know, Vegas got a power play goal last game, may have only been 1-for-6, could have been 2, though, if Shea Theodore's opportunity would have counted, you know, but they were 1-for-15 prior to game 2. You know, the power play has to be better, and it has to continue to grow. As you go deeper, you're going to need to win in different ways, and sometimes your special teams are really what can be the difference. Vegas employed a little bit quicker attack. They moved the puck quicker. Mark Stone went to the goal line as opposed to on the wing. Pacioretty's back on his off wing. So they're giving different looks to the Dallas Stars. And, you know, even Theodore's goal that was waved off was a good sign that is right off a faceoff. Get it to the net. And Max Pacioretty, you know, swings through the goal crease and takes out Anton Khudobin. But that's a good sign, though. And it's something that the Golden Knights were great about last game. I mean, the heat map was on fire right in front of Dallas's net, and it was not like that in game 1.
Well, and especially just given that Dallas is a team that has taken a lot of penalties. It's a bit of a characteristic feature of their game that if the Golden Knights are able to capitalize on that, it would be great. And on the opposite side of that, Dallas does have a good power play, and the fact that the VGK have been able to combat that as well as they have is great. There's a D pairing that you are really, really liking right now.
I was jazzed last night, big time.
Big fan of Zach Whitecloud and Nick Holden, Mike McKenna is.
And game 2 especially, you know, and here's why sometimes you have to look deeper into the game. You know, if you just look at a score sheet and you see, oh, no points for either of them, you know, a couple things that might jump out at you. It doesn't really have that same gravitas of looking at Shea Theodore having an assist every single game or a goal every game, it seems like, right? But these two last on Tuesday night, Whitecloud and Holden were only on the ice for one scoring chance against. That is outstanding. That is unheard of. And put a little bit of context into that. You know, they're not playing as hard a matchup always, but you still have to be responsible. And it wasn't like they just went zeros across the board. They were on the ice for 7 scoring chances, 4. So, I mean, that ratio is as good as you're going to find. They were outstanding. Nick Holden, I mean, he led the team in shots, and he had 5 hits too, you know. So there's playing a big part in the game without showing up on the stat sheet. When you dive deeper, you can find these things. And, you know, to put a frame of reference on it, Shea Theodore and Alec Martinez were on the ice for 8 chances against, you know. So it really shows how important Whitecloud and Holden were. And really, too, these are kind of, you know, guys that don't get a lot of love, you know. Like Whitecloud, I think, has gotten some because he's a younger player.
Right.
We've seen him grow. But, you know, Nick Holden, I mean, he's got – I'm telling you, he's riding the power of that mustache. Like, that's what it is.
Oh, man. What do you
– His push broom right now –
Push broom.
Is,
oh, my gosh.
I mean, tops in the – nobody's touching it.
Like, I love the words in hockey, like the lettuce and the –
Oh, and the, I mean, the soup strainer. You know, this guy's mustache game, you can tell he's been in a bubble. You know, you got nothing to lose with your facial hair. Unreal.
Who's your favorite facial hair on the team right now?
Oh, Nick Holden.
No, I mean, that's your no questions asked?
A mustache always wins. I mean, you know what, though? If we could get Alex Tuch to go back into the And Justice for All era James Hetfield chin strap slash mustache combined combo, to me, that's tops, but rarely seen.
His Movember get up was strong.
Really solid.
It was strong.
Yep. Takes confidence. takes confidence.
No, but I'm glad that we're giving the defense a good bit of credit. Somebody obviously who deserves a lot of credit himself right now is Robin Lehner for what he's been doing in net. And Pete DeBoer really commented a lot on just the composure that Robin has played with, especially given that maybe, no, he hasn't seen a ton of shots, but despite that, he's still been able to be in game, be patient, be steady, be composed.
Been really impressed with his way to his own management of the game. As a goaltender, even though you're not seeing shots as often as he's maybe used to in the past, when he was with Chicago this year, he's facing 35 a game and excelling there. Now he's facing 24 a game and excelling with Vegas. That speaks to his consistency. That's his approach of making sure he always has a chance on everything, using what he has for tools to his advantage. He's a big goalie. He doesn't like to overplay things. He doesn't like to be overly aggressive because he trusts his reads. He does not get beat clean often, and that is a huge point of pride for him. It's not easy, though, to make these saves when you haven't seen action for a long time. That massive glove save against Vancouver, the breakaway Matthias Janmark had midway through the second period. Lehner makes the save on it. It stays a 2-0 Vegas game. That's a potential momentum changer, and you're looking for it. Now, Matthias Janmark's, I mean, his scoring ability is at the bottom of the league, unfortunately, but like, it's still a huge save, and you've got to be mentally in it and not doing too much. So been really impressed with Lehner. And also today, there's an excellent article on the VGK website by Gary Lawless speaking one-on-one with Robin Lehner that really goes into his mental side of the game, how he sees things. And really the big takeaway quote to me was that it takes a lot of faith and chemistry to get your team behind you.
Yeah.
And that's what you're seeing. The team's fully behind him. It's not an easy thing to come in midway through a season being traded to a team.
I highly, highly, highly recommend that read. I feel like Robin Lehner, always when you get him on the podium or a one-on-one situation, he is very honest. But this was a really good look at kind of what he's been going through since he came over to the Golden Knights, what his relationship has become with the team, what his relationship is with Marc-Andre Fleury. And he, something that he said that I really liked, it was kind of in that same section that you're talking about, was just how good of teammates Marc-Andre Fleury has been, how good of teammates this whole group has been, because it is hard, especially as a goalie, to be somebody who comes in at the deadline in the situation that he did. It's a very big position on the team, one that had already been taken. And so it's a very interesting balance and dynamic that the Golden Knights have right now. And his mindset and the words that he shares are just really, really good. So if you have any extra spare time today and you're getting ready for the game, make sure you head to VegasGoldenKnights.com and take a look at that article put together by Gary Lawless. Really good stuff.
It is a very, very open and honest look into his mindset. You always get that with Robin. And I very much appreciate about them. I think people do it too, to just get something that isn't filtered. It's not canned ham answers. It's reality. And what he says about joining a team so midway through and in a trade deadline for a goalie is so true. I've been in those shoes before. Mm-hmm. I was traded to a team at the trade deadline, completely out of the blue, didn't expect it. And it took me a few weeks to feel comfortable, even though I had people in that team I'd already played with. We ended up going to game 6 of the finals, nearly won it. But it's not an easy scenario, and it probably helps, too, a lot for Robin to have someone like Mark Stone here who he'd previously played with.
Yeah, one thing I thought was interesting, too, and that was just that, like, he's like, I'm not putting myself in the game. I'm being put in the game, and I'm doing the best that I can, and I'm trying to play my game and play the best that I can. That's all I can do.
All you can do is control your own fate. You know, if you start thinking about extraneous things, you're going to put yourself in a mental blender. You're making one save at a time. If you're in the net, if Marc-Andre Fleury's in the net, the whole goal here is to win. They've both gotten a chance to play. There's a big prize at the end that they're eyeing.
Yes, and he has been very good on the way to ideally earning that prize. His fourth shutout in his last 7 starts this past game. Fourth goalie in the last 5 years to have 4 postseason shutouts.
He's chasing some guy named Brodeur. That's the record.
Yep.
7 in playoffs is the record. Martin Brodeur.
Only 5 players have more than 4 postseason shutouts. So it's a very exclusive list that Robin Lehner is looking to eventually get onto if he can post another shutout. Anton Khudobin, what have you thought about him so far in these first couple of games?
He's been fine. He got chased from game 2, where, you know, allowing 3 goals you may not necessarily pull in that situation, but he has played a lot of hockey. And I would be concerned about that going forward if I'm the Dallas Stars, that he has been the guy, aside from Ben Bishop, once he got injured. It's been the Anton Khudobin show. So him getting the mercy pull in game two, part of that's looking down the future. You've got a kid in Jake Ottinger who's never played an NHL minute. And then the first chance he gets in is a power play against, yeah. Right? So he's on the penalty kill. Golden Knights didn't get a shot.
Yeah, but he didn't face a shot until ultimately 12 minutes later.
It took a while. But. So, you know, it's a good chance for them, though, that, like, if Khudobin gets hurt, Ottinger's your guy, and he's never played. So it gave them a chance to get him in the net. Khudobin's been fine. He almost looks like he's wearing down a little bit. The Golden Knights have to keep going on it. First game, outstanding. But by the second game, you started to see it creep in. Some habits where he looked like a little mentally tired in it.
Did you buy necessarily what Rick Bonus said after the game about putting in Ottinger, that he thought that, yes, he wanted to give Khudobin a rest, but also that, hey, maybe like a new guy in his NHL debut, maybe that'll give the rest of the team a bump. I didn't really buy that personally, but... Coach, they did play better.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't think that there was much to it. I mean, if you're looking for a spark, you probably ought to look to your guys that are making $10 million bucks that haven't done anything in the game more than switching up to a kid who's never played. So there's probably about a 5% factor of that, hoping for a bump from the goalie. And the other 95% is just getting the kid some experience.
Well, if you're out here watching the Golden Knights, guys, you need to eat like a Golden Knight as you watch them play. A limited number of to-go packs are available at McKenzie River Pizza Pub and Grill for pre-order each playoff game. $50 gets you a large pizza, two salads, lodge poles, and 4-7-5 Brewing Company beers. Player favorite pizzas are also 15% off on game days. So please call 702-916-2999 to order. And since we're talking 7-5 Brewing, we might as well talk number 75 and the Ryan Reeves effect when we come back, as well as go around the league. Stay with us on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Hey, Golden Knights fans. I'm Carla Perez, Regional Vice President of the Valley Health System, and we're proud to be the official health system for your Vegas Golden Knights. The Valley Health System is a comprehensive network of acute care hospitals that serves residents and visitors in every corner of the Valley, from Summerlin to Henderson and all along the Strip. We know that no one ever wants to go to the hospital, but when you have to, discover the Valley Health System.
Learn more at valleyhealthsystemlv.com. Physicians are not employees or agents of the system.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Story behind Tony and Mike McKenna here at City National Arena, and fans, for exclusive 2020 Vegas Golden Knights playoff gear, visit one of the Vegas Golden Knights official team store locations, either here at the Arsenal, the Armory located at T-Mobile Arena, or VegasTeamStore.com today. And Ryan Reeves had 6 hits in the game the other night, but his impact was felt much farther beyond that after taking a suspension in game 1 of this series. Here is Pete DeBoer followed by Max Pacioretty on just the impact that Ryan Reeves has for this team.
Is there still invaluable? I would use, just absolutely big value in that and what he brings and the room and the amount of space and just the flies, so to speak, he keeps off the other guys on our team. It's invaluable and you can't measure it. And it's not just measured by the hit total at the end of the night.
Well, it makes everyone able to play a little bit bigger when they go out there. That being said, Ryan Reeves is a good hockey player. He helps us in all categories when he's on the ice. He's really good on the forecheck. He's really good at protecting pucks and holding on to pucks down low. He's obviously very hard to knock off the puck. That being said, when he has the opportunity to run someone or get some energy for our group, he's able to do that as well. And as you mentioned, he just so happened to probably be the toughest guy in the league as well. So if anyone wants to step up to the plate, I know he's more than willing to do so, and kind of gives you a confidence as another player in the team, knowing, hey, you want to run me, why don't you do so when 75's on the ice? And they probably think a little bit differently next time they're gonna try and line someone up or say something to someone as well.
I love that. You want to run me? Why don't you do that when Revo's out here, buddy?
Here comes 75. He's got a beer line, by the way. Keeps the flies off. Never heard that term before. You always give it to me about hockey terms. Like,
well, I thought he was going to go keeps the flies off the honey, but he's like keeps the flies off good players.
Other players. But to me, the Ryan Reeves effect is so much mental. It's not just the fact that he had all the hits that he did. You know, six hits, some big ones. But it is. It's just what Max Pacioretty alluded to. He makes everybody feel 10 feet tall and strong as an ox on the ice. You know, he gives that air of freedom to the team that they can go and do what they need to, and he'll take care of business. And again, it's not a fighting aspect. It's there if necessary,
right.
But it's that heavy in your face. And it's his whole line, too. That line, the meat grinders are different when Reeves is out there, when it's that same grouping. Reeves is six hits. Carrier, nine hits. No six hits.
Yeah, 20, that's 21 if you're doing math combined.
And a goal for Tomáš Nosek. Yeah. You know, it has been invaluable, too. Talk about an unsung hero. But right off the bat, Ryan Reeves was in John Klingberg's head. He takes a penalty because he's worried about Reeves. And post-game, you know, they asked Jamie Benn and his availability what it's like to play against Reeves. And mind you, too, that Reeves' line, they played their most minutes against Ben's line. So this was an on-purpose matchup. Jamie Benn's the heaviest player that Dallas has. He's the only guy who can answer to Ryan Reeves in any capacity like that. And whoever asked him the question kind of bloviated on about the old days and fighting and other things, and Ben just rolled his eyes. But they finally asked, you know, how do you counter Ryan Reeves? And he answered, just ignore him, I guess. Like, if that's your answer, is just ignore him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, tell me he's not in their
that's
heads.
That's tough. I mean, because he's an unignorable.
You can't.
If I can say inignorable player. Yeah.
I don't know if that's a word, but if a guy's coming at you.
I'm making it up. Somebody call the dictionary people. I'm here.
Webster's line two. But yeah, like, you got a 225-pound guy with about 6% body fat barreling down on you in the corner. You think you're not thinking about him and you're just going to ignore him?
Yeah, he's got he has the hits. He has the physicality, but he has the energy, tempo, opens things up for other players. And Rick Bowness, a couple days ago, before Ryan Reeves was injected into the lineup, was asked about how that would affect his team and if anything changes with Ryan Reeves on the ice. And he said no as well. He said that, no, we don't really do anything different, but like maybe you need to.
Yeah, well, they're just trying to focus on themselves too. And they know that Ryan Reeves is an aspect of the Golden Knights. It's been a known quantity for a long time. And really the Dallas players have forever with, you know, Ryan Reeves came in with St. Louis. So Jamie Benn and Sagan and some of the mainstays in the Dallas team have seen him for a very long time. But that doesn't mean that you always have the answer to it. You know, you have to be aware of that player. And a big part, too, for Ryan Reeves is just playing up to that edge. You know, you don't have to cross it, but he's done a really good job in this series, late in the Vancouver series, of making sure that he takes it right to the edge without going over.
Well, the Golden Knights dropped their first game, but it was a one-goal game. The Tampa Bay Lightning and New York Islanders had a very different game one, and their contrasting game two was above and beyond different as well. The Islanders are now down 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Final after a down-to-the-wire game last night. It was absolutely insane. Here is the final goal call.
Ward follows up. Right, so go to Kucherov. Kucherov centers it. Pull out in front. Shoots off the post, I think. Orval Amov got a piece. Rebound to McDonald, left circle, 10 to go. In front, Kucherov, score! Kucherov scores with 7.8 seconds
Unbelievable.
Left. It's 2-1 Lightning.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable is a great way to put it. That goal, the voice of the Tampa Bay Lightning, Dave Mishkin. You're over here just like jubilation smile.
Well, I love it. I know Dave. I played for Tampa, right? And I know Mishkin, and I can just picture him running around the room. Like, we score! The Tampa Bay Lightning scored! But
his headset almost unplugs.
But like, Stormy, is that not why we watch sports? That type of moment. There's 7 seconds left in a game that seems like it's assuredly going to overtime. Tampa Bay in waves makes it happen.
And that's a game they were outplayed.
They were.
The Islanders bounced back in that game, and Kucherov and Vasilevskiy essentially are what knocks him off.
Vasilevskiy was outstanding. They faced, I believe they had 6 penalty kills, I want to say. You know, big effort from Vasilevskiy. Sorry, that was 4. But huge stops on the kill. And you're on a team that's been dominating other clubs at times, but you still have a goaltender on the Lightning who can steal games when you need it. That's a major factor to playoffs. You need everybody to be able to step up. And for the Lightning, too, you know, you lose Killorn right off the bat. Probably looking at a suspension for the next game, too. A blindside hit to Brock Nelson. Can't do that.
Yeah, his hearing will be today. We'll find out what the result of that is, if he will earn a suspension, similar to how Ryan Reeves had earned a suspension.
Correct. And you know, on top of that, you lose Braden Point. How injured is he?
And you already don't have Steven Stamkos.
Right. And it's funny because Stamkos is almost an afterthought at this point. Mm-hmm. He's one of the most prolific goal scorers in the league. That's how deep that team is. So if Braden Point's out, though, leading scoring in playoffs for them, dynamic forward who can be a game changer, it'll be interesting to see. Can they get past the Islanders? How will they match up against the team in the finals if they don't have Braden Point?
Yeah, and John Cooper at his media availability earlier today said that, you know, they don't have an update just yet. Very possible that he's not going to be in game three. So we'll just have to keep an eye on that one. But just to go a little further on, Andrei Vasilevskiy had 13 shots on the penalty kill that he saved. He's now 12-3-0 this season, 1.86 goals against average. And I mean, like, the Islanders had a 5-minute power play, a 2-man advantage, and obviously, as we just talked about, a shorthanded Lightning roster, and they still just couldn't get it done. I think that as this series goes along, that's going to be one they really, really wish they had.
What's been so impressive about Vasilevskiy is he did not start the year well. It wasn't almost until December that he started to click. And then when he did, he hardly lost a game the rest of the year. So sometimes when you see adversity from a goaltender, they never fully recover, and you'll see a whole year where you wonder, what happened? You know, why are their numbers down? Why was this section of the season so hard to manage? And for whatever reason, maybe it's coming off so much playoff hockey that he's had the past couple of years, the expectations, the new contract. I mean, he's one of the most highly paid goaltenders in all of hockey. He managed to find a way to bring it, and he's been very consistent since about December on. It's why he's a Vezina finalist again, and you see it. You know, this is a goaltender on a very, very good hockey team who can steal games. What he did on the penalty kill, some of those saves he made, athleticism, the side-to-side movement, the tracking, tops.
And I want to say he's the only goalie now. They're the only team that's used just the one goalie.
Correct.
Throughout this postseason.
Yeah, and that's not because they have a weak backup, really. Curtis McElhinney is a very good goaltender. Showed incredibly well for the Carolina Hurricanes last year in playoffs. And that's a big reason why the Tampa Bay Lightning got Curtis McElhinney. They know he's one of the best backups in the league, but he also showed he can do more when necessary, especially in playoffs. But when you got Andrei Vasilevskiy, and he's playing that well, and he hasn't seemed to show any signs of fatigue, you're going to roll them, and that's what Tampa Bay's doing.
Well, and Tampa Bay, like, I'm just trying to get a read on them. Was the game one success who they are, or was that, you know, who they are off of all of the energy and all of the rest that they got after winning their previous series and having
difference.
All the rest? Yeah,
for sure. I mean, they were so hungry and so energetic compared to the Islanders. It's real. I mean, even Dallas-Vegas, the first game, it looked like both teams, really. I mean, Dallas had a bit more juice, but you're coming right off these series. But that's just the nature of the bubble right now. And I think you'll see it be much more even from here on out between those clubs.
Well, I wanted to take a look at a certain Jack Adams Award winner, if you have a moment.
Oh, certainly.
The Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy, winning Coach of the Year, announced yesterday, led the Bruins to a President's Trophy, finishing the season 6 points ahead of any other team at the time, 100 points in 70 games. A great year for the Bees. Didn't go where they wanted to, but still a great season and a great honor for Bruce Cassidy.
Yeah, and you're looking at regular season for this. So, you know, what Boston did, they were a juggernaut. Absolutely impressive. There was no let off whatsoever since going to the Cup Finals in 2019. That's really impressive, and it's hard to do. And they had to make some changes to what they were doing as well. So kudos to him. Really impressive. Cassidy's done a great job coming up through the Boston organization, beginning in Providence, working his way up to the big team with the Bees. And the other winners, though, I mean, John Tortorella, what he did with that team in Columbus, to me, the just a straight up, like, lack of top-end talent, let's be honest here, compared to other teams in the league. The amount of people they lost in free agency, losing your starting goaltender, having two young goalies that are unproven, untested, and him getting that whole team to buy in, He would have been my winner. Thought he was outstanding. And Vigneault turning things around in Philadelphia.
Stormy Bonantoni and Mike McKenna here on Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Make sure if you have any questions for our last segment, use the hashtag Nighttime at Noon or tweet at Fox Sports Las Vegas or one of us at Mike McKenna 56 or at Storm Bonantoni. Good luck spelling that, but if you can, there you go. John Tortorella, as you said, he finished third in the voting, and Philadelphia's Alain Vigneault finishing a very close second to Bruce Cassidy.
Yep, and also, too, just announced yesterday for the Jim Gregory, General Manager of the Year in the NHL. Three candidates for that. You have Julian Brisebois of the Tampa Bay Lightning, Lou Lamoriello with the New York Islanders, and Jim Nill of the Dallas Stars. Ironically enough, who would have guessed? And you know who got shorted on this?
Kelly McCrimmon.
Is the other person in the finals. It's funny because, like,
that was my first thought when I was like, oh, yes, very deserving, very deserving. But I look at the Golden Knights' moves that they've made with Robin Leonard, with Alec Martinez, Nick Cousins. Like, I don't
know. Do we have some, I mean, obviously we probably have some proximity bias. And,
a little.
And it's almost, like there's like recency bias to this too. But, you know, I've played for all three of those, Brisebois, Lamoriello, Nill, all very, I mean, they're legend. Two of those are legends in the game, and Nill and Lamoriello was already a Hall of Famer. But all three of those teams made moves, especially the in-season moves from Brisebois and Lamoriello, to set them up for the playoff success that they are having.
Yeah, a strong list, to say the least.
Sure.
I feel bad about my proximity bias, though.
I'm with you. I think that Kelly McCrimmon got slighted on this. The move's in season. I mean, you fire your head coach in January with a team still in playoffs. Like, that's bold, and it's paid off.
It's paid off in extreme dividends. And just for the record, since we were just talking about the Jack Adams Award, Pete DeBoer did receive a vote in that category as well. We will be back in just a little bit with more Nighttime at Noon. We're going to talk about life in the bubble, maybe get some final keys from Mike McKenna for this game in order for the VGK to get a win today. So stay with us. Stormy Bonantoni, Mike McKenna on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Stormy Bonantoni, Mike McKenna here live at City National Arena, helping get y'all set for Game 3 between the Vegas Golden Knights and Dallas Stars. And while we all wish we could be watching some of these postseason games inside T-Mobile Arena, bring the spirit of the fortress home with you during the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs with an official watch party kit. Support your Golden Knights with custom battle towels, noisemakers, temporary tattoos, and so much more. You can get your kit today at the Arsenal or at VegasTeamStore.com. And Mike and I both can confirm that we have gotten into these watch party kits because we've been doing that Fortress at Home broadcast during the game.
There's no better way to show it off.
We've been getting wild with the battle towels.
Towels, the dancing, the food talk. Been a lot of food talk. We've been digging deep on analysis too.
Yeah, we kind of hit all the boxes for you. So.
I think we check a lot of them. You know, we're trying to hit the fun factor. We're trying to make sure everybody's interactive and highlight the things that we find funny or unique or super cool. We've been talking barbecue at times, pizza.
Obviously, all of you are going to be listening to the amazing Dan Duva on play-by-play.
The Gary Sicilian soundbite.
During the game here on Fox Sports Las Vegas. But if during the commercials you ever want to tune into Fortress at Home as a little second screen action, we would love to have you with us. A lot of fun there. Thanks for sending in your question, Mark Chinook.
Who's that? Mark.
I'm sure many of you know and love Mark Chinook. Just speaking of Fortress at Home, he was one of those rotating hosts along with myself as a part of those second screen broadcasts. He killed it. And now he's doing Top Rank stuff. He's been in that bubble off and on. He's been very busy. But he asked us what's for lunch.
And also goalie union member.
Oh, excuse
former
me.
Goaltender.
Excuse
so
me.
Hashtag goalie union. Ask what's for lunch. Well, we'll find out. It shows up a little late today. I'm actually not sure. I've just been coming in waiting to be surprised every day.
Yeah, I don't know. We've had a good selection. Like, I'm a big fan of the Mac River pizza. Like, I know you're
a
thin crust guy.
I like the crispiness.
I'm a thick crust lady. Yeah. Extra chi. As long as I get extra chi, I'm good.
I really don't discriminate when it comes to pizza, but I do like the thin a little better.
We did some tacos last
week. Oh,
game,
was that
though.
Good? A chili relleno?
I'm a big, like, white meat chicken taco person,
Holy
so that was good.
Holy Jesus, the guacamole.
We'll see, though.
The guacamole.
Yeah, the guac was.
Oof. I tell you,
guacaholy moly.
Oh, my goodness. I need to start getting my jokes for my kids and share them.
I will say, like, somebody the other day, and I didn't get to talk about this, asked what my favorite dad joke is, because I like always talk about being just, I just have stupid jokes and I'm not good at them. But my favorite one is when I'm at the grocery store and the cashier asks me, do you want your milk in a bag? And the response has to be, no, keep it in the jug. Thanks for the pity laugh. Sometimes I get those from the cashier too.
You know what? If we have any Canadian, if we have any Canadian expats, it'll really screw them up because they get milk in a bag in parts of Canada.
I know. Darren was the first person that told me that was something I didn't know, and then I went on like this Google, like down an awful rabbit hole of like milk in bags and how you get a carton and all that stuff. It was really interesting. Okay. I'm curious about stuff in the bubble right now because we've seen a lot of golfing. Like, hockey players love golf. There's nothing new to that. But both the Dallas Stars and Vegas Golden Knights have been featured this week for their different golf spectacles. And Anton Hudobin was, like, I don't know, what do you call him? Like, the T-ball setter?
Well, he's putting the golf ball on the tee.
For Blake Como.
So
Blake Tiger Como, excuse me.
I mean, I can think of a few things that we could call that. But, I mean, he's kind of coaching. He's kind of caddying. He's kind of observing. So I don't know if he's giving lessons or not. But, I mean, his caption was so funny that golf's a team sport.
Yeah, he said, who said golf isn't a team sport? And he also said, what's shinier, Blake Como's head or the golf ball?
So funny. I honestly, like, I enjoy Anton Hudobin so much. He just loves life, it seems like. He has this zeal to him, and his Gucci tracksuits are unreal.
From everything I've heard, he's definitely Gucci tracksuits. He's definitely
Velour.
A character. And Mark Stone, also somebody who, like, we all know he loves golf. He brought a putting mat with him to the bubble. That's how much. But he was out there, not only like on the course, but doing the golf simulator when he can't be on the course. So he's inside the bubble. And he was doing it with some of the young guys, with Peyton Krebs, Dylan Coughlin, Nick Hague. I thought that was really cool that somebody like Mark is always willing to like be with the younger guys and like, just, I don't know. He's just such a good mentor.
He's wholesome,
model.
Isn't
he's
he?
Everything.
He's just so wholesome. He's not just expressive. You know, we're gonna.
He's
we're
expressive.
Gonna, I feel like
and wholesome.
The next hashtag is gonna be wholesome, Mark Stone. You know, like
I'm sure he would love that.
Yeah, really, right? Like, well, he's. I mean, he started. It started last season when Brady Tkachuk lived with him in Ottawa. You know, when we were teammates there, and now Tkachuk actually is his full time renter in Ottawa. But now, you know, this season too.
I'm pretty sure Cody Glass stayed with him for a while.
Nailed it.
Krebs.
I was just gonna go to that. You know, there's. There's a level of care to Mark Stone that extends beyond hockey, beyond his team. It's just knowing how you treat people, how you treat young players that, you know, they need their help in the game. They need to find their place. And it's a huge reason why he's such a leader on the Golden Knights.
Well, he's awesome. Can you give me just a quick couple keys to the game before
you got
we leave
it.
The people?
Well, get the whole shot like a motocross race. Come out hot. A team that started the best has won each game. Golden Knights have to do that. They got to make Dallas defend. And they have to be confident without being arrogant tonight. Toe the line. Don't cross it. Don't wake up Jamie Benn. Let him sleep. Take the game to the Stars.
Gonna be a fun game. Vegas Golden Knights and Dallas Stars taking off for game 3 tonight at 5:00 Pacific time. Make sure you can tune in on the TV, but mute that and listen right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network, Fox Sports Las Vegas, Dan Duva and Gary Lawless. And make sure you check out us too on Fortress at Home. That is all from Mike McKenna and Stormy Bonantoni on Nighttime at Noon.